It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of June. The NBA Finals are in the rearview mirror. It's worth taking a second to see if anything's been learned. The Locked On Podcast Network mock draft continues to move along with some interesting things happening, and rumors are floating all around the league. Plus, we'll take a look at Zaire Smith and Mikal Bridges, two draft prospects that are supposedly big time. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. Today is Monday, June 11th. Today's show will bring you a look at all the things I've already mentioned because it's Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and a look behind the curtains on the Jazz. Brought to you today by Murdoch Chevy and Intercap Lending. I have nothing fun and interesting and stupid and silly to tell you about my life today. It's the Larry H. Miller Automotive Golf Tournament at Hidden Valley, which is one of the most fun events of the year. All right, there you go. All right, so the finals are done, and the Warriors romped, and we're back to the discussion of Durant ruining the game, and they're so dominant. Like, we're better than that, aren't we? So, a NBA team was built to beat the Warriors and came awfully close to do it. Right, Houston, with a lot of things going right. Now, had Chris Paul not decided that he wanted to go to Houston and bypass becoming a free agent and some of those things, then, yeah, then this really could have been a little bit more of a whitewash. And in theory, if the Warriors were playing with a bit more focus during the regular season and won more games, it might feel like a little bit more of a whitewash. But, you know, Cleveland was never particularly good. The West is still much more difficult than the East. It continues to dominate. I think Utah was, by the end of the year, was the third best team in the league. I think New Orleans beats both Boston and Cleveland as well. And so, and Boston was without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward. It will be interesting to watch them bring that back, but that's a team that's built pretty close to the way Houston is and then has marquee bona fide scorer in Kyrie Irving. So this is, if Boston's healthy next year, they may very well, and Cleveland's disbanding, they're very well going to make the finals, and they'll give the Warriors a run. But yeah, the Warriors are one of the great teams of all time. Houston was a bunch of missed threes and a strained hamstring, pulled hamstring, away from possibly beating them. So I'm not sure. It's a nice narrative. It's lazy. I'm not sure I'm buying that narrative. I think what we have is one of the great dominant teams of all time. They've won three or four titles. They're probably, unless they have internal combustion, going to be there for a fourth and a fifth. But it's going to be harder. The blueprint has been written, and teams, the best of teams, probably maybe only Houston and Boston, can now build their team to try to execute a game plan of switching at a high level, interchangeable wings, and do some things to them that probably other teams don't have the talent level to do. So that, I mean, that's my takeaway, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, for if you're someone like the Jazz and the 76ers, you've proven that playing defense by being smart, dropping your big, taking away the rim, covering the threes, forcing teams into not very good shots, having an elite rim protector in Gobert and Embiid is enough to get you to be an elite defensive team in the NBA. And I think what we also learned this year, and the single most important takeaway I had from the whole season, is that in the final eight, which is, I think, the realistic area you're shooting for, winning a title might sound good, but it's not a very realistic expectation to build a team. It's certainly what you're shooting for, and you're trying to get better and trying to get closer. But because of the Warriors' dominance, and always whoever is dominance, that whether it was Miami or Boston or LA or whomever, I think you're putting yourself to be in the final four of your conference and then see what can happen from there. Seven of the eight teams that were in the final four of their conference were in the top five either offensively or defensively. And the one that wasn't was New Orleans, who played a team that wasn't in the first round. So that the way the playoffs broke out, the only way you possibly could have that was 7 of 8. Now, what would have been interesting, I think Minnesota was top four. Had Minnesota not had the Jimmy Butler injury and suddenly Minnesota was the fourth seed or third seed, as they were, would they have won their first-round playoff series despite their horrid defense? But seven of the eight teams were elite offensively or defensively. Top five. To me, that's the lesson of the offseason. And so as we're the Jazz looking forward, I think that's what you're looking at. And what's tricky, and we've talked about so much, is a lot of this has to do with how you approach the Derek Favors situation. And then what value do you put in the numbers that show you that the Jazz were better or as good, frankly, not better, as good defensively with Rudy Gobert and a small? They were a 96.3 if you exclude Joe Johnson, and they were a 98 with Favors. So they were better, but there's some other factors, who you're playing, starters versus subs, things of that nature. So that's the takeaway. The model is now out there on how to beat the Warriors. Which teams should have to actually go execute that, I think, is an interesting discussion. And from a Jazz standpoint, I think the discussion still stays, whatever we do this offseason, how do we maintain ourselves as an elite, elite defensive team? All right, there's some rumors out there. There's some interesting things taking place out there. Let me get to those draft-related and off-season-related. On the off-season-related, there's a Brian Windhorst story that Kevin Love will be traded if LeBron leaves. There's also an athletic story that the Warriors are after Anthony Davis. I've kind of told you this is going on all year long. Let's go to the Kevin Love for a second. Kevin Love's an interesting possibility for the Utah Jazz. There's no question. That would be a pretty fabulous circumstance. Now, there's a lot of things that make this difficult. And this is the essence of the offseason, and this is where Dennis's preparation will be key in his whole front office's preparation. And this is where I think things will be really, really difficult this offseason. And that is, let's say Washington wants to get off Otto Porter's contract. This is a hypothetical. And so the deal with Washington to get that deal done is Alec Burks. You've got to get to Otto Porter's number. Otto Porter's making 20 plus million. 25. So to get to Otto Porter's number, you're going to have to include Alec Burks' 11, Seth Alosha's 5.5, we're at 16, Jerebko's 4, you're at 20, and probably Udo's 3, you're at 23. Okay? So somewhere in that range. They then can release Seth Alosha, Jerebko, and Udo. Okay, so that's a possibility. What happens when you are pretty certain LeBron is leaving, and so you have to, you know that in all likelihood that Kevin Love's going to be available? Do you still make that deal? The interesting thing that happens with Kevin Love is with Kevin Love, you've got to get to $22 million again. But you can't do it the same way, because by the time LeBron likely chooses his team, the contracts of Seth Alosha, Jerebko, and Udo, depending how late LeBron goes, have all moved past their guarantee date and are now not expiring contracts. The window for the Jazz to make a deal with those three players is prior to July 1, when their contracts don't expire. What the Jazz have done is they've built these contracts so that the date of guarantee for Cephalosha, Jerebko, and Udo is all July 1 or July 5. And what that does is means on draft day, the Jazz are able to suddenly trade these guys, someone can release them, and they are no salary on their books. When they're no salary on the books, then that's a pretty good deal. That clears for Washington, that clears their cap space. They're taking Alec Burks for 1 year for Porter. But by the time you get to LeBron making his decision, those contracts are now guaranteed. So that makes suddenly how you're pulling a $22 million Kevin Love deal gets pretty complicated. Rescind the rights to Derek Favors. Maybe you start rescind the rights to Dante Exum. And maybe you can start to move yourself to under $22 million of cap space. But you have to know you have that deal. Same thing on Aaron Gordon. Free agent the Jazz are probably interested in, probably have to go max deal to get him. The things the Jazz would have to do to clear to get the max deal, which then in that time period, the Magic can match the deal, may preclude you in that same time period from either using one of your guarantees, depending on how long, and the July 5th of the date on one of those guarantees that expires, and you might miss out on the ability to make the trade for Kevin Love because LeBron's not going to have made that decision by then. LeBron doesn't usually go fast. It's very complicated timing. And those are all three great fantasy scenarios that probably are going to be unlikely, but those are, you know, a little dreamy, and they're all hard to try to figure out. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. I'm driving the Chevy Colorado. Strong. Smaller size than the Silverado. Still great pickup. I have the diesel. So it's a mid-size truck. Its pricing when compared to other similar trucks in the marketplace is pretty strong. In fact, it's the best really out there. Starts around 20. It's been given great performance reviews across the board in all of the various things they get. Its user friendliness, kind of in all the technology things, has been a nice jump where they have the Apple and the Android Auto that's taking place in the car, which gives you a very, very, you know, much safer and better experience. Drives very well. Gosh, my kids are both up in Mammoth skiing right now. I had to load, a million. It's the truck thing. I had to load a million things, as well as then all at the last second a bike, and it turned out to be great. The diesel can get up to 28 miles to the gallon, so that's pretty good compared to the Toyota and the Honda that are in the same kind of realm. They're at about 16 miles to the gallon. Motor Trend Truck of the Year 2 years in a row, J.D. Power's initial quality top five. So really very, very strong by Chevy. And if you can do Chevy, do it over with Murdoch Chevy. They've been together with Murdoch and Chevy for 90 years. Woods Cross. Tyson's running the place over there. He's a really good dude. He'll talk some hoops with you and hang out a little bit. Stop by. Tell him that you heard about the great Colorado on Locked On Jazz. You get the Murdoch guarantee as well. Car washes, oil changes for life, 5-day price match guarantee, and the no regrets experience. That's all at Murdoch Chevy. All right, let's talk a little draft. So we're doing our mock draft right now for the Locked On Podcast Network. That show will launch Wednesday, 5 days worth starting Wednesday. Something interesting happened. Colin Sexton, the point guard out of Alabama, did not go in the first nine. Mikal Bridges jumps in. And if he doesn't go in the first nine and he's a point guard, is Philadelphia taking him? Is Charlotte taking him with Kemba Walker? The Clippers decided to take Gilgeous Alexander instead. Dallas isn't taking him. They have Dennis Smith. Denver's not taking him. They have Jamal Murray. Washington's not taking him. They have John Wall. Phoenix, depending what they do at the top of the draft, may or may not take him at 16. Milwaukee has Eric Bledsoe. You get to 18 if Sexton doesn't go in the top nine. There's a legitimate chance that either Gilgeous-Alexander or Sexton could really drop. Now, if you're the Utah Jazz, do you like either of those guys? Gilgeous-Alexander matches probably what we need pretty badly. Long, lengthy, defensive player. Sexton's more of a pure point guard. But that's a scenario that just played out in our mock, and I'll leave out when he gets taken, that gets interesting. And if for some weird reason someone likes Aaron Holiday better, then it really gets interesting. I had my choice. I'm not going to tell you who I took. That's for the mock. But I had my choice of some pretty interesting players. So maybe you should tell me who you would want to take. I had my choice. Let me pull it up here for a second. Of Grayson Allen. I'm just looking at players we've worked out. So I had my choice of Mo Wagner, Khyree Thomas, Grayson Allen, Dante DiVincenzo. Kevin Herter was off the board. Troy Brown was off the board. Jalen Brunson, Metu, DeAnthony Melton, Keita Bates-Jopp, Melvin Frazier, who I like, Landry Shamet, Gary Trent Jr., Zaire Smith was gone. Kid out of the high score out of Georgia Tech, the European kid out of Croatia. They're all available. Who do you want? I got to admit, I need to watch one. I have not had a wow guy yet. I like Melvin Tucker, but there's some problems there. Melvin Frazier, excuse me. But so, yeah, Grayson Allen, Bates-Jopp, Brunson, Frazier, Moose out of Croatia, Jerome Robinson, Boston College, Landry Shamet, Wichita State, Khyree Thomas, Creighton, Mo Wagner, Michigan. We're all available for me to pick. I had two I got it down to, and I made my pick. What would have you done? I watched both Zaire Smith and Mikal Bridges. I watched Villanova versus Texas Tech. Zaire Smith's pretty interesting. I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is my complaint on draft coverage. The truth is that two of the top 10 guys are not going to make it. And probably of the next 20 picked, between 8 and 10. And all we hear about this time of year is how great they're all going to be. It's not true. Like, that's not true. There are a bunch of guys that are not going to be great. Zaire Smith is probably the hardest one to figure out. He is an incredible athlete. He is above the rim all the time, particularly on the offensive glass. He wows you with what he does. He shot 45% from the outside, so you start to get excited, and then you realize 36 of those are all, he only took 36, and only four of those came off his own creation. So, as of right now, his offensive game is only catch and shoot. His handle against Villanova, he couldn't go anywhere. I mean, he really couldn't. He got in any traffic, he turned it over every time. He's a great rim finisher because he is an elite, elite athlete. I mean, he gets up on top of offensive rebounds all the time. And he clearly understands that innately. Watching him against Villanova, I'm like, okay, insert yourself. Put yourself, like, if you watch the game, it's obvious that he's an elite athlete. But, like, put yourself on the game. Impact the game. Not a lot. Usage rate's only 18%. He's not a point guard. I don't know if he's even a two. He played like a power forward. He assisted on about 13% of the baskets while he's on the floor. So you have an elite athlete, pretty good defensively on Brunson a bunch of times. Guards multiple positions, pretty exciting because of his athleticism, and he's big. Shoots a very low volume threes, has no off-the-dribble game, has no mid-range game. And, like, when you're projecting him into what? Right? Into what? It's a pretty wild projection. The athleticism means he's going top 15. I don't think he's getting to us. And I don't think we've had him in. And the athleticism is just incredible. But that's a reach. Mikal Bridges next. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is a Utah company. They've been in the mortgage lending business for 40 years, and they're one of the largest independent. So that allows them to act a little differently, be hyper-responsive, embrace change, and improve the borrower experience. So how do they act differently? Well, Steve Carter's your guy, and you'll feel that immediately when you call him. 385-885-28. If you tell him you're Locked On Jazz and you do your loan with them, they will give you a mortgage for free. I mean, the mortgage for free. No, they will not do the whole thing for free. I lied. They will do the appraisal for free. The appraisal. Were you listening? Was this just another ad where you're saying, oh, no, you should have been listening right there. I tried to give the whole thing away. That is not true. It's the appraisal. That would have been really different. They do a whole business in which they don't take any money. They're hyper-responsive. They do that through technology with their app, which is just great. Intercap Lending in the App Store. If you're refiing, you can start it. You can pre-qualify without talking to anyone. With the market being insane, that's a great way to do it. That's where they really embrace change. They're hyper-responsive that they're a direct lender, so they have no overlays, no additional requirements. That means they can deal with some difficult loans. If you're self-employed, business assets, multiple properties, let them take a look at your loan. If you have some low credit issues, they can navigate through that better than most places as well. And then they just have chosen to give you a great borrower experience, and that's exactly what we experienced when we used Intercap Lending. Call Steve Carter, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28, Intercap Lending, NMLS 1904465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. No, the whole thing's not for free. Mikal Bridges is interesting. I watched Villanova, Texas Tech. Villanova's hard to scout because what I like to do is watch them play players that are going to be NBA players. So Bridges against Zaire Smith looks completely outdone athletically. He's supposed to be this incredible catch and shoot guy who got wide, wide open looks in that game against Texas Tech and missed them. He shot 44% from three, took a lot, 240. He played with Brunson, who is a great point guard. Watching Villanova, I am not entirely sure at all which one of their players is the best pro. Part of me thinks it could be Spellman if he figures out how to be a stretch four. Part of me thinks it could be Dante DiVincenzo. He's the best athlete of the group. Part of me thinks it's the kid who went back to college last year. Bridges is... Everyone's excited. He's a 3-and-D prospect. I'm nervous about him. Again, someone's got to bust. I'm not saying he's a bust, but someone's going to struggle. So here's what I'm nervous about. Don't see a great dribble drive game. Don't see a pull-up game. Can develop these things. Not that strong. Pretty. And he's old. Like, he's older than most of these guys. He's 22, 21, and a little more than 21 and a half. He's a straight line driver, if at all. His shot takes a little while to get off. Now, he does a lot of things really, really well. He plays in the team game great. He's got great field back cutting. He is a good shooter. But top 10 pick, maybe he's going to slide. A little nervous about him. And again, I'm watching these guys with a really negative eye. And every now and then I watch someone, I'm like, oh, I don't see the negative. But Tony Snell, maybe? Not the athlete that Robert Covington is. An old Temple guy, Eddie Jones, maybe? You know, I know we're talking a lot about post-up and things of that nature. Like, I'm watching Brunson, and Brunson goes and posts up, and it's a huge part of his game. You know what? It's just not going to be happening that much. Like, particularly for Brunson, who's coming off the bench in 14 to 16 minutes a night, I don't think he's a starter. I don't think he's Fred VanVleet, maybe. Like, how often is he actually going to post up? I know he does it really well, and it's nice to put it in his top positive ledger. But, like, I'm at Mikal Bridges. So, what is he going to do? So, he's a 6'7 wing who I'm going to need to be elite defensively. But if he's going to be elite defensively, I think he's got to be a little stronger. Maybe he'll get there. But, again, he's 22. And I need more athleticism. Because I didn't. You know, hey, I only watch Texas Tech game. I need to probably watch Villanova play Michigan and watch Wagner in that game as well. But I watched him to see him go up against Zaire Smith, who's a great athlete, and Smith was just a vastly superior athlete. So he's a catch-and-shoot guy who, in the game I watched, didn't make shots too, right? So this is a tough one for me, and I'm not full scouting him. But so he's going to be a 3-and-D guy is the way everyone talks about him. Because he's not beating you off the bounce. I don't think he's attacking closeouts particularly well. He's going to be a good team system guy. All right, well, there aren't that many teams that run that great a system. That three better be really good. And I'm not totally convinced that he's a great defensive player, and I think it's very hard to ask NBA players to do that. Now, this is a guy who's working out of the top 10 players. So who am I? But this is also a guy whose three-point shooting has gone from 29 to 39 to 44, playing with great players. Free throw shooting is good, but he also, like, as a sophomore, took 1.6 free throw attempts in 30 minutes. All right, I'm just going to level it out there. He's a high concern guy for me. I get it. Someone will probably trade up and go get him, and it'll make total sense. I mean, I get the intrigue. Plays well with the teammates, shoots it well, moves the ball, but doesn't handle it great. But I'm saying this. I'm watching a lot of these guys with a bit of a negative eye. And I have a level of concern there. I'll watch some other guys for you tonight. We're going to be heavy draft for the next 7 days. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network for the latest on all things in Locked On Podcast Network and all the best draft coverage. Go to LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. And LockedOnJazz.net for the latest as well on the Locked On Podcast Network.